Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Monday, April 1st, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Herring seining opened for the third time Saturday afternoon in Sitka Sound. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game called the opener at 4:10 p.m. There's no official word yet on the afternoon's haul. Informal reports on social media suggest fishing was lower than the previous two openers, perhaps around 1,000 tons. The department reported nearly 18 miles of active spawning visible from aerial surveys on Saturday. On Sunday, heavy fog in the morning kept the survey grounded. During his 10 a.m. update Sunday morning over VHF radio, management biologist Dave Gordon reported numerous smaller balls of herring in Eastern Channel and Readout Bay, but no significant fishing opportunities seem likely to materialize. The 48 permit holders are hoping to land over 11,500 tons of herring in the Sitka Sound Sacro fishery this spring. In the first opener last Wednesday, they took 2,100 tons. The following day's harvest was higher, around 3,600 tons. Depending on the results of Saturday's fishing, they could be about halfway towards this year's goal. Last year's fishery was worth over $8.5 million. The Sitka Assembly Thursday suspended Municipal Administrator Jim Dinley for 2 weeks without pay in response to a harassment complaint. The decision comes after nearly 2 months of investigation. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
The Assembly spent more than an hour in executive session on Thursday night, then voted in open session on the suspension. In February, Assembly members hired Anchorage attorney Sarah Heideman to look into the complaint. Sitka Mayor Mim McConnell said the Assembly decided to suspend Dinley after hearing the results of Heideman's investigation.
I mean, in some respects it was difficult, and I mean, it's... This was, as it will come out, that this was an anti-harassment issue, you know, part dealing with our policy that deals with anti-harassment, and so, you know, we needed to get all the facts and make sure that we were responding in appropriate fashion.
McConnell and city officials have declined to reveal the specifics of the complaint or who filed it. When it came to light initially, McConnell told reporters that outside counsel was needed to look into the issue because then city attorney Teresa Hillhouse was a witness to one of the incidents in question. McConnell said Friday that it's not yet known exactly how much money the outside attorney's work will cost the city in total, but that the bill for February's work was around $6,000. Dinley was in his office on Friday. The suspension is effective starting Monday, and he declined to comment or respond to the Assembly's vote to suspend him. He has been municipal administrator since 2008 and draws an annual salary of about $122,000. At his rate of pay, a 2-week unpaid suspension equals roughly $4,700 in lost wages. The Assembly voted 6-0 in favor of the suspension. Mike Reif was busy with Thursday's herring fishery and did not attend the meeting. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Sitkans successfully survived a terrorist bombing last week and didn't lose a minute sleep over it. They also dealt with a suspected poisoning of the food supply, a hospital patient with a gun, and a dangerous meth lab. All these scenarios, though realistic, were not real. They were created by an organization whose job is to test the resources of communities to deal with real-world threats. KCAW's Ann Bryce has the story about one of Sitka's largest ever emergency response drills.
On Tuesday morning, a mysterious bag was left at the airport in Sitka.
And what had happened was one of the Alaska Airlines employees came up and kicked the bag. Well, the bag exploded.
Al Stevens is the assistant fire chief at the Sitka Fire Department.
Did it really explode?
It did. There was an alarm in there, and then there was like powder stuff. So
the airport staff evacuated the building and called the police. After the police arrived, however, the employees were told it was only a drill. Sitka was hosting an emergency preparedness simulation that has been a year in the making.
The scenario is that this radical group came into Sitka, and they were really against the wild salmon aquaculture, you know, and they wanted to do farm fishing, you know, and so they wanted to dispose of the hatcheries and everything else, and they wanted to really disrupt things around Sitka so that they could get these hatcheries in here, right, which, you know, is kind of like what we would deal with.
Although there was no real threat in the drill, Stevens wants to be clear that every situation in the drill was as real as possible.
What if you just simulated it and, you know, and every everybody just lollygagged around and said, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, this is meth and this is But what is the difference if you actually walked into the scene and, woof, you actually smelled the ammonia?
The people in charge of creating these so-called threats is the Emergency Response Training Institute, ERTI, a Seattle organization that puts on training drills.
They grow things, make things. They are the ones who create all this real stuff. They're replicating what the bad people would do. So they are the bad people.
For the drill in Sitka, ERTI created a list of scenarios. Early morning explosions, planted bags with fake bombs, poisoned food, a hospital patient with a weapon, a 17-person crew stranded on an island, scenarios that challenge the fire hall to involve all of Sitka's resources. And the resources of organizations from around the region that flew in to participate in the drill.
But look at all the players you have here. You have State Parks, Sitka Trail Works, Allen Marine, Forest Service, National Weather Service in Juneau, TSA, LAPC, U.S. Coast Guard, Raven Radio, okay, Public Health, Serums, Department of Homeland Security.
As we talk, Stevens gets a radio call about a meth lab in town.
Hey, Al. You were busy, but Scott Seaton received some intel from Jeremy Henthorne out there that I just passed on to the military that suggests we got a drawing that has biological as well as meth. So there's.
It's out Sawmill Creek Road at an abandoned shack. A fire crew has discovered a chemical lab in a shed. Police drive over to check out the scene. The firefighters are suited up in full body gear and have masks covering their faces. They took some photos of inside of the shed to show police. Police now have to secure a warrant so they can search and seize evidence. After it's tested and the substance is determined, they'll evacuate the area depending on what they find. And now everyone waits. It will take hours, the rest of the day even, to deal with the issue. Actual problems take time to handle.
What if this really happened? Okay, now, what are the chances of it happening in Sitka? Probably slim to none. But this is, unfortunately, the world we live in now, you know? So it's not just role-playing for responses in Sitka. It's role-playing for responses anywhere.
And he says it only cost the city about $200. The Department of Homeland Security footed most of the bill, along with the state of Alaska. I'm Ann Bryce, reporting in Sitka.
A new hatchery chum salmon project is underway for the Southeast Alaska community of Cake. It's a joint project involving the Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, or NSARA, based in Sitka and Cake's Gunnick Creek Hatchery. NSARA General Manager Steve Reifenstuhl says 9.5 million chum salmon fry were moved in early March from the Hidden Falls Hatchery on Baranoff Island to Gunnick Creek's Southeast Cove remote rearing site on eastern Kuyu Island near Cake.
Those are being reared right now. They're growing well, and we're, helping Gunnick Creek with raising their fish because we're operating at the same site. The primary difference in the two programs is that we're going to raise our fish to 4.0 grams, so a much larger fry before we release, whereas Gunnick Creek is going to do the traditional, right around 2 grams size for release.
Gunnick Creek already produces hatchery chum for the Southeast Cove remote site and from its facility in Cake on nearby Kuprianoff Island. The new NSARA chums at Southeast Cove will be released in late May. Some of the first returning fish from that new release could be back in 2 to 3 years. However, it won't be until 2017 before 4-year-old chums would return in numbers if the program is successful. Reifenstuhl calls it an experiment to see if larger fry release size will help chum returns to the Cake hatchery.
I'm thrilled to be involved in a new project and working with another hatchery program and one that has not done exceedingly well in the last 5 or 6 years, and I'm hoping that this 4.0 program will be a model for really improving marine survival there. So if in 3 years we see a big bump in survival on our 4.0 fish, then Gunnick Creek can then decide to go ahead and do the same thing with their program.
Reifenstuhl says other hatchery organizations have had success raising their fish to a larger size before they're released. That approach takes more time and more money, however. But larger fry are more likely to move offshore once they are released and less vulnerable to predators, especially humpback whales. Sea Alaska's approximately 21,000 shareholders will get their spring dividends in about 2 weeks. Tribal members who are also enrolled in Village Native Corporations will receive almost $700. So will enrolled descendants of shareholders. Those also enrolled in an urban Native corporation will get little more than $150. Those amounts are based on ownership of 100 shares of stock. Some members of the Juneau-based Regional Native Corporation have more or fewer shares due to inheritance or gifting. Elders, shareholders, descendants, and some other tribal member categories receive different amounts. We have those details on our website, kcaw.org. Sea Alaska's Board of Directors approved the spring distribution at a meeting last week at its Juneau headquarters. Much of the dividend, close to $550, comes from a pool of Regional Native Corporation resource earnings. Most of that money comes from Northwest Alaska's Nana, an owner of the Red Dog Mine. Sea Alaska's urban shareholders receive that part of their dividend directly. The corporation pays village members' shares to the local corporations, which decide whether to pass it on. Last spring's distribution was about 20% more for urban shareholders and about the same amount less for village members. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online, kcaw.org. Here's a look at Sitka's own weather. It's currently 40 degrees downtown at the Cable House, a little bit of light rain. And today you can expect areas of fog in the morning, rain with highs around 39. Tonight, numerous snow showers mixed with rain in the evening, becoming scattered. Snow accumulation to 1 inch.